Please stand for the reading of God's word. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you to be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Galatians 6, 1-5. Thank you. You may now be seated.
Okay. Well, before we get started, I'm just going to just pray for today's message, and we'll dive right into the text. Just, Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. And God, we pray, God, as this morning, as we look at one another's burdens, how we are to bear one another's burdens, God, Father, we pray that, God, you would just show us how we can do that. That God, just through this message, God, that we will just fall more in love with you, that we'd want to just obey you and cherish you. And God, may you just speak to us this morning. We just praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today we are talking about bearing one another's burdens. Remember, so we're doing the series of one another's, and this is where we're going to be at today talking about that. And as we look at the one another's, we realize more and more just how God has called us to be in fellowship with one another, right? He hasn't called us to be alone. I remember when I was a kid, one of the things that I never wanted to do as a kid was to speak in front of people or just to even be around people necessarily. And there were multiple reasons why that was the case. Because when I was a kid, I was a really shy kid. I got actually made fun of quite a bit when I was in elementary because I had problems reading. I couldn't speak right. And I remember saying this as a kid, like, God, I love you, but I don't want to speak in front of people. And as time has gone on, of course, God has definitely changed my heart. He's definitely transformed me more into who he is. And I remember multiple times when I was in Sunday school, I believe I shared this maybe the last time I preached here. I'm not sure. But I remember when I was in high school, on Sundays, my youth pastor would make me read in front of people and make the whole and all the youth read. And I remember after he did that, I remember saying to myself, I'm never going back to Sunday school. In fact, the following Sunday, I remember I hid in my parents' car so that no one could find me. In fact, I went in the back. I didn't just go in the back seat. Like, I hid underneath, like, the chairs. I tried to throw stuff over my head. Like, I would not want anyone to find me because I did not want to read scripture in front of people. But sure enough, my youth pastor found me, and he got all the youth to kind of shake the car until I got out, and he made me read. So I didn't really get away with that one. So before we go into really the burdens and what it looks like to bear one another, let's kind of look at the context of this passage. So one of the questions that we can ask ourselves in this passage when we look at this is, who is in danger in this passage of Scripture? But we see, according to verse 1, that somebody has been overtaken in trespass. Somebody's sin has come to light. Okay, that's what the verse 1 tells us. But who does Paul spend 5 verses warning about what might happen to them in this situation of discovery and restoration? The fallen one? Or is he talking to the one who's about to help him stand up? So those are good questions to ask. Who's Paul trying to talk to? See, every verse in here, every verse but one has a big yellow flashing light that says, caution, caution. And the message of warning is directed not to the fallen one, but to those who aim to help the fallen one. See, in these 5 verses, it is a warning against the danger of pride in those who take on burden of correcting and restoring a fellow believer. Now, it is not a warning, okay, this is important, it's not a warning against correcting and restoring a person. Paul's not warning, hey, don't do that, but it is a warning against to do it arrogantly, that we are to do this without pride. That's what Paul's warning to these people. But really, like I said, I really want to focus this morning on Galatians 2 and remember the importance of the body of Christ. And again, let's read verse 2. It says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." You see, we are not called to be a lone wolf. And that's why I look back at my past. That's why God, over time, He didn't just let me be a person who hid from people. Because again, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a person who lived up the mountains by myself. I wanted no one to talk to. I was content by myself. But again, I am so thankful that God loves me so much that He was not content with me to be alone and just to pursue a lonely life. See, we're not meant to be lone ranger believers. It's not how we're to be as Christians. Scripture is full of exhortations for us to be active participants in the body of Christ. Just as we're not meant to worship alone. We aren't meant to bear our burdens alone. And as we go through this, you guys, maybe there's going to be some burdens that we're going to look at and like, yeah, that's me. Maybe there's going to be some burdens we're going to look at and like, yeah, I know a person who's going through that. And we are not called to bear those alone, but Christ has called us as a body to come and bear one another's burdens so that weight will be fulfilled definitely less. So again, let's start with the words "one another." I'm not going to go into too much detail because Pastor Ray did a phenomenal job when we first started this series. As this phrase occurs all throughout Scripture, bearing one another's burdens. A number of those references deal with the unity of the church, and the Christian life is not meant to be lived alone. This is why we are the church. Okay, there's a reason why we're the body. There's a reason why we're the church. This is why we at Hillside, while we have programs such as ABF's, children's ministry, youth ministry, men's and women's ministry, the Y'all group, life group, we have these here because we need fellowship. See, through fellowship, you guys, we can love and serve one another by bearing one another's burdens. It's when we are plugged into one of these programs that are happening at this church, then we are able to get to know our congregation on a deeper level and to be able to love them and to serve them by bearing their burdens. So, let's look at this. What exactly is a burden, okay? So, quite literally, a burden is a load, especially a heavy load, right? That we may think of a beast of a burden like donkeys or mules or camels or oxen that are trained to carry heavy loads. Have you guys ever seen those things before, like an oxen carrying a bunch of stuff before? But in this passage, you guys, the burden is more of a literal, is more than a literal light weight. That it's the filling of something that is a great concern to us. I talked about this. I know I share a lot about Lord of the Rings. I don't know why, because again, it is one of my favorite movies. But there's a part in Lord of the Rings. I think it's the third one. And there's a part in there where Frodo is, he's beat up. You can tell that the burden of the ring is very, very heavy, right? And one of my favorite lines that Samwise, that he says to Frodo, he goes, Frodo, I can't carry the ring, but I can carry you. And then he grabs Frodo, throws him on his back, and starts carrying him up the mountain, right, to destroy the ring. And to me, I remember watching that, and I was blown away by just how heavy of a picture that is. That, man, that we should come up to one another and just kind of, like, pick them up. Like, hey, I can't literally carry the burdens that you are doing, but, man, I can help you through this. And that's why I think I love that movie, and I love those three movies, because there are a lot of it's about, like, fellowshipping with one another. See, a burden can be anything that threatens to crush the joy of our faith, whether a tragedy that threatens to make us doubt God's goodness, or a sin that threatens to drag us into guilt and judgment. Those are what burdens can do. You see, again, we all have burdens. For us to come here to this morning and say, I don't have any burdens, I'm perfect. Well, most likely then you haven't really searched your heart, or maybe you're just really just deceiving yourself, because all of us have burdens, and all of them look differently. So as we go on, I'm going to be listing some burdens here, and as we go on, I just want to encourage you guys to kind of take note of the burdens that we talk about. Maybe take note of maybe, hey, do I know someone in this church that's going through this right now? And be thinking, how can I come along that person and to love them and to serve them and to really carry their burden? Or maybe you have to take a note like, hey, is this me? Is this the burden that I have? So one of the burdens that we can look at is the physical health. For some of us, it may be a health issue, right? This is one of the burdens that we can face, an illness, an injury that can be chronic, that may be very painful. We all may have seasons of sickness that really just knock us flat. You bet that can be a big burden. And if our loved ones are sick or injured, it is a real concern for us, right? If you have loved ones, especially you parents, if you have kids and your child is sick, like, that's going to be a very difficult situation, especially if it's something that's going to be a disease that might take the person's life. The other thing we can look at is that others of us may have emotional burdens. That is not uncommon for us, it's not uncommon for a Christian who knows in his or her mind that we should be joyful in the Lord, right? We know that and should be anxious about anything, to have depression or anxiety. And that's the other thing that we can look at, is depression. That's definitely another burden that we can face. Spurgeon writes this, because he was a man who dealt with this quite a bit. He said this, he goes, "I could weep by the hour like a child, and yet I knew not of what I weep for. And I am the subject of depression so fearful that I hope none of you ever get to such extremes of wretchedness as I go to. But I always get back by this: I know that I trust Christ. I have no reliance but in him. And if he fails, I shall fall with him. But if he does not, I shall not. Because he lives, I shall also live. And I spring to my legs again and fight with my depression of spirit and get the victory through it. And so may you do, and so you must, for there is no other way escaping it. I love that quote from Spurgeon. Again, he was a man who had depression. He was suffering through it, but yet he clung to Christ because he knew that was his only way out. And he used that to glorify God, and it was a phenomenal. You guys can look more into that. C.S. Lewis, he was another guy who suffered on depression. Now, let me give you a little background of C.S. Lewis, that he was raised in a Christian home, that he became an atheist around the age of 15. It wasn't until that he went off to college at Oxford that he received Christ, that he had many friends there that would be a big influence, and one of them being J.J.R. Tolkien, the author of Lord of the Rings. That was a big influence in his life. God used Tolkien to really bring back Lewis back to Christ. In 1917, Lewis left his studies to volunteer for the British Army, and on April 15th, 1918, that he was wounded, and two of his colleagues were killed by a British shell falling short of its target. That's where, when Lewis was at war, he was in a lot of depression at that time because of the things that he saw, the things that he experienced, the friends that he's lost. So he dealt with that. So again, you guys, it's not uncommon if you claim to be a one who pursues Christ and you have depression, you have to look at it like, hey, that's everyone deals with that at some point in their life. Don't look at it like you're the only person that's dealing with it. Another burden we can look at is anxiety, that none of us are immune to anxiety. That none of us are. If we're honest with ourselves, and none of us are. And I remember, you guys, this is one of my stories about with an anxiety. I suffered with anxiety greatly when it was in my 20s. In fact, it was to the point to really, it messed up my stomach to where I was throwing up, and it was just really just being a hard thing. And it was so bad to the point to where I could wake up in the morning and just be thinking about the little things I have to do, and I would just get really bad anxiety just by thinking of something simple. And over time, Christ had to remind me that he is truly enough. And when I focus on Christ, that anxiety slowly started fading away. So, and one of my other favorite quotes from Spurgeon, he says this: anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strengths. That is one of my favorite quotes that I always love turning to when I feel like I'm getting anxiety. Not just knowing that quote, though, it doesn't prevent us from having anxiety, right? At least I don't think so. I don't think that it does. There's nothing powerful about that quote that's going to make you not have anxiety. Yes, it can encourage you. But let's look at what Scripture says in Matthew 6, 25 and 28, and then verses 31 and 34. Jesus says this about anxiety. "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will not eat or what you will not drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is it not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, and they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil or spin." This is where it starts on verse 31. "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all the things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." I don't know about you guys, but I've had those moments in my life where I've been so anxious about the next day, and I will get nothing done the day that I have this anxiety. Nothing will be done. And then the next day happens. I look back. I'm like, oh, I just wasted my other day. Like, that's depressing. And I get depressed, right? So it seems like it goes back and forth. Anxiety, depressing, right? Like, well, maybe you guys haven't been there yet. I don't know. Maybe I'm just kind of strange and I'm the only one that's been there. But nevertheless, that's what has happened before. Another burden that we can look at is fear. That we have other emotional burdens. Fear, I like to say, is a sidekick of anxiety. Fear is from the enemy and not from God. I remember multiple times I was driving with my mentor to the beach, and he was asking me the kind of things I want to do. And I told him, like, well, I want to do this, but I'm scared. Like, I have this fear. And all he would tell me goes, okay, don't be afraid. That's not from God. And I was sitting there going, okay. Great, awesome. Don't do that then. But he would just remind me that really that just this fear, it's not from God at all. The fear is not from God. Again, we look at fear that we may have fear of a medical diagnosis. I don't know about you guys, but I hate going to the doctor. I'm terrified of going to the doctor. Seems like every time I go to the doctor, like, something else might happen. Because I know when I was a teenager, my mom will always have me do like these weird tests that make no sense. And when I went to go see the doctor, and it was just like, I remember after doing those tests, like, they didn't find anything, of course. I remember afterwards going, like, really, Mom? Like, why did I have to run on a treadmill? Like, that made no sense. And really, it was just embarrassing for me. But that kind of, over time, like, got to me to work. Man, I don't want to go to doctors. I don't want to do things. Or I don't want to have some kind of diagnosis that I might not know of. And we can look at fear, the rejection of a friend or family member. Maybe some of us, that's what the enemy likes to use, to where we don't want to tell anyone about Christ, our family or friends about Christ, because we just don't want them to reject us. That's a huge one the enemy can use. See, we fear things that we have no ability to control than trusting God, that he is in control. In Romans 8:15, it says this, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says this, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." In Isaiah 41:10, it says this, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous hand." So what other emotional burdens can we face? Like, anger can be one of them. Hate can be one of them. Again, I don't know what emotional burdens that you might have, but it can be a real weight, and that can be an obstacle for us to enjoy the joy and peace from Christ. Money can be another burden, right? Unemployment, unexpected bills, a car or appliance that breaks down. When money is tight, even what might seem considered to be a small occurrence can be overwhelming. I think multiple of us have experienced that one time or another, to where money just weighs us down. It becomes a very heavy burden. Sin can be another burden, and the guilt that may come with it. Just like this passage, the man's burden was his sin. That we can have brothers and sisters who get caught under the crushing weight of sin. The enemy will always want to rob you of your joy in Christ. And sin is definitely one of those ways how he can rob you from that. So again, we all have burdens. I don't know what your burdens are, what burdens you're carrying today. And I'm sure I didn't mention every burden that you are facing. But again, that we can't carry them alone. That Jesus is here to carry our burdens. And that he uses his church as a means of carrying them. So let's look at this. Let's see what does it mean to bear? Okay, in First Peter 2:24-25 it says this: He himself bore our sins in his body on a tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And by his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. There's another writer, I didn't really get his name, but this is just a writer, nothing in the scriptures, but he says this: bearing, or to bear this way, to take upon our shoulders as our own burdens, and thereby help them to bear. This includes, in some circumstances, the lightening of, or in others, their entire removal. See, for some of us to be capable of bearing one another's sin, is that we must first deny ourselves. We must first deny our pride and become humble. That is one of the first steps that we can take if we want to bear one another's burdens. Just like this passage, Paul was warning the people who were going to help this brother in sin that, hey, you need to be humble. You need that pride will hurt you. So pride will hold you back from bearing one another's sins. That when you have pride, you may say this, I've said this before in my past, I can't afford on taking someone else's burden without burdening myself. That I don't want to do that. I don't want to bury someone else's burden because my life is just too good right now. I don't want to bear anyone else's burden because, you know, I know it to be frankly, I just don't really care about that person. So again, we see how pride can really do this. And we can ask ourselves, again, I can't afford on taking someone else's burden without burdening myself. Well, guys, guess what? That's the whole point of Galatians 6:2, that it's called a sacrifice. When we bear one another's burdens, it's a sacrifice, right? That we are sacrificing our time so that we can help our brothers and sisters in Christ. Here, Paul is talking about a kind of relationship that we are not capable on our own. In our flesh, we tend to only help people when it helps us feel good about ourselves, right? Am I the only one that's gone through that before? Hopefully not, right? We've all have done that before. Oh, I will help you. And then after helping that person, we'll brag to other people. Oh, man, I really helped that person out, right? That person used my skills greatly. And we'll kind of brag about that. And by doing that, that doesn't really burden us at all. But instead it builds us up. See, there's a difference from when we help someone. Are we going to carry on their burdens, or is it going to build us up in pride? So we should want to build Christ and not build up ourselves, right? If you want to pursue Christ, then we need to deny ourselves, be humble about it, and build Christ up. So let's look at how can we take the burdens of our brothers and sisters upon us, okay? So we know in verse 1 of chapter 6, it says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep and watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted, okay? So we know that we are to do so and be gentle about it. That's how we're supposed to be. We bear one another's burdens. We are to be gentle about that. It's like this, okay? It's like a doctor who has to put a broken bone back into place. If you break a bone and that doctor is trying to put that bone back into place, do you want him to do it kind of aggressively and kind of sit there and pull and yank? No, I'm guessing you want him to do it gently, right? When I was in junior high, I'd started junior high off the coolest way ever. I started my seventh grade off with a broken foot, right? Awesome. It was great. Got a lot of attention. Not the kid attention. But then in eighth grade, I broke my wrist. That's how I started off my eighth grade year. So I remember when I broke my wrist, I remember I went going to the doctor and they had to put something on my arm to kind of put the bone back into place. I remember the doctor looks at me and goes, "Hey, John, now I'm going to have to grab it and I'm going to start trying to put it back into place." And I remember I was freaking out. I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is going to hurt incredibly." But really, the doctor, what he did, he was very gentle about it. He just kind of sat there and he kind of massaged it. And yes, there was still pain because it was broken, but it could have been a lot worse, right? The doctor was gentle about that. And that made a big difference, because I'm sure if he was sitting there pulling on it or doing something else, I probably would have passed out or probably would have thrown up. I don't know. But it would not have been good. I can tell you that, especially being, you know, what 14 years old. So let's look at some practical ways and how we can help bear each other's burdens. So one of the ways is that Jesus wants those who receive mercy to be mercy givers. We see this in Matthew 18:33. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? That is one way. It's just to show mercy to someone. That if you make time to serve your brothers and sisters, then you may make a huge impact on their lives for Christ. Maybe it's financially, in a financial way. Our dollars can make a difference, even when there are a small amount to us. If you have someone who is going through a hard time financially, we can easily, if God has blessed you with some money, you can easily just help your brother and sister out with that to get them out of that hard time. Maybe it's your know-how. That if you are skilled in something, that you can lend your hand and time to help that person. Maybe you're really good at building things. Well, guess what? You can use that skill and help someone else that maybe needs someone to help them build something, right? Maybe it's prayer and sharing word from a scripture. And I'm talking about a prayer. Like I've seen this before. People will pray and like, "Hey, God, just be good to them." And they'll just say something very simple, not mean it. I'm not talking that kind of prayer. But man, when you're praying for them, their burden literally becomes your burden, that your heart is breaking for that person. That when you are praying for them, you are experiencing what they are experiencing. And of course, like I said, sharing a word from Scripture. Not just find something random, close your eyes, grab a verse, and share it to someone. But no, it's when you're praying for someone, be thinking, be asking God, show me some scripture that I can use to show my brother and sister in Christ who is hurting right now. And I've been in multiple situations where I've had people do that for me, where I needed to hear from God, and I have a brother in Christ would come up to me, like, "Hey, John, I've been really praying for you, and I've been realizing that you are in a lot of pain. Here's this verse that I've been praying for you. God has put this verse in my heart to give to you." And every time that has happened, it's just like this weight has fallen off my shoulders. And it was just a neat thing seeing how God's word can work like that. Maybe it's sharing in tears with someone. In Romans 12:15, it says this, "Weep with those who weep." That's another very powerful moment, is when you find a brother and sister who are just weeping. Maybe you should just go and start weeping with them. And again, I remember another time, when I was an intern for a youth, I remember getting a call from a doctor. My mom told me that my brother was about to die. By the grace of God, he didn't. But in that moment, my life was shooken up. In that moment, I couldn't focus on anything other than that. And I remember that was actually during youth. I remember after youth, I was just in tears and crying. And the youth pastor came aside me and he put his arm around me and he just started weeping with me. And that was a huge opportunity that he did for me on that moment, knowing that I am not going through this alone, but I have my brother in Christ that's doing this with me. Maybe it's lending a ride to an appointment or to work. Now, you know someone that doesn't have a car or doesn't drive, maybe you can just easily say, hey, I can take you to an appointment, I can take you to work, I can take you shopping. Maybe it's preparing a meal for a family that's lost a loved one or has a new child. You can easily help them with something like that. So I want you guys to do something for me. I want you guys to picture someone trying to carry a 100-pound log, okay? They are struggling. This is a good picture of what it's like to carrying someone else's burdens, to help bear someone else's burdens. So picture that. You have someone that you see someone carrying a 100-pound log, right? And then you come alongside and help them carry it. And when you do that, when you go and you carry that other half of that log, what happens is that 100 pounds now just turns into 50 pounds. That you are carrying 50 pounds, the other person now carrying 50 pounds, and makes it a lot easier. You're helping your brother or your sister in Christ to carry that log. Pastor Tim Keller, I love what he says about what a burden is, about what a burden does. He says this. He says that you can never help somebody without some of that person's burden falling on you. Now that is powerful. That is why a lot of people don't want to bear one another's burdens, because they don't want some of that person's burdens on them, because they can easily look at it. And I've been in that spot myself, where I just remember even thinking, "Hey, I have too much of my own burdens. I don't want to share anyone else's burdens." But Christ has called us to do that. See, some of you are wondering, what are you supposed to do with your life, right? Maybe some of you guys already know, but maybe some of you guys are in that spot where I don't really know what to do with my life. Or here is vocation that will bring you more satisfaction than if you were to become a millionaire 10 times over. Develop the extraordinary skill for detecting the burdens of others, and devote yourself to making them lighter. That is something that we all can do. That is how you live a life that's not wasted. But develop that skill and how you can detect burdens for other people. So let's look at now in verse 2 here. In verse 2b, sorry. In verse 2b it says this: "And so fulfill the law of Christ." But what does Paul mean by this? And so fulfill the law of Christ. In Galatians 15:14, it says this: "But Paul reminded them, the whole law is fulfilled in one word, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And how is that love best manifested? By bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Let's kind of define the law of Christ a little bit, okay? The law of love is the law of Christ. Love and Christ go hand to hand, right? The fruit of the Spirit, which we see this in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, okay, is a manifestation of the law of Christ brought by the Holy Spirit. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at some some passages that might support this. So in John 13:34, it says this: "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, and you also are to love one another." Romans 8:2, it says this: "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus, in the law of sin and death." 1 John 4:21 says this: "And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." In 1 Thessalonians 4:9, "Now concerning brotherly love, have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another." You see, guys, the pattern of Christ is that love is sacrificial. Remember, again, we were to bear one another's burdens, and that's that sacrificial love that we can show. A love that is totally, utterly focus. That was what Christ preached. That's what he was all about. As Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7, he says this: "That if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clinging cymbal. And if I have a gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. For if I give away all I have and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not and have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. This truly is a cross-shaped love. Without love, we are nothing. Without Christ, we really can't know love. We as Christians love because he first loved us. In Ephesians 5, 1 through 7, it says this, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in Christ, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." See, the imitation of God, the imitation of Christ, the following of the law of Christ or the pattern of Christ is only made possible through the Holy Spirit. You who has come to dwell in each of us, those who have been born again. The Holy Spirit has come in those who have been born again to dwell in us so that we can be capable of doing such things. That you must know and believe that Christ has died. That Christ has lived, that Christ will come again to take his church home. Home to a new heaven and a new earth where no pain, sorrow, suffering, and sin are all gone. I don't know about you guys, but that sounds pretty amazing. That you must turn from your sins and repent and believe this good news, that this is good news for those who are still dead in their trespasses and sin can be made alive in Christ today. That is possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. So let's look at the conclusion then for this. So what is the law of Christ and how do we fulfill it? Bearing one another's burdens is the law of love. Bearing one another's burdens is the law of Christ. And bearing one another's burdens imitates the one who bore all of our burdens on the cross. That's why we are called to bear one another. So let me ask you guys this question. For you believers, do you have broad shoulders? Bear someone's burdens today. Who has God been placing on your heart? Who is God breaking your heart for today? Bear that person's burdens. Are you weary and heavy laden today? Maybe there's quite a bit of you guys that have come here with all these burdens. Maybe you have so much you don't even know what to do with them. That if you are weary and heavy laden, turn to Christ and turn to his church to help carry your load. And just to know this again, this is the beauty of the body of Christ, is that we can come to one another and weep and cry and to be joyful and to be happy and come to one another with burdens and just know the fact that they can help us out in this. Christ can use the body to help each other bear. So guys, my encouragement for you guys today, don't leave this building if you have burdens. Turn to one another. Turn to Christ. Watch God be God. It's pretty remarkable. With that, let me pray. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you so much that you sent your Son to die for us. Father, we just praise you for who you are. And God, we pray that, God, that we as a congregation, that we as a body of Christ, that we will come alongside of each other to bear one another's burdens, not the fact to build up our pride, but because you have called us to do that, so that we can be an imitator of you and to bear those other people's burdens and to know that we are not alone on this. And God, we praise you and thank you so much for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Later in Galatians, Paul says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith." bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Hillside, we've gathered for worship, for fellowship, for being built up with the Word of God. You are now sent to reach this world.